So the Justice Department announced this week that it was establishing a $1.7 billion anti-weaponization fund after President Donald Trump dismissed a $10 billion lawsuit against the IRS over his leaked tax returns. And this fund was established ahead of a court deadline in the IRS case, which would have required the Trump administration to try to explain if there was an actual case to be heard in his tax return case, or in his taxes case. And this fund would be provided to January Sixers who were pardoned by the president. It would give them a way to seek these payouts for their claims that the government overreached, that they were targeted, and as a result, they would receive money from the federal government. Mm-hmm. Unprecedented, certainly, to this level. Let's talk to Barbara McQuaid, the former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan. Barb, good morning. It's good to have you back. What did you make of this? We had heard maybe something like this would be coming at some point, but now that the kind of the nuts and bolts have been released, not entirely, what do you make of it?
I don't see any way that this agreement is legitimate or lawful. I'll start with the lawsuit itself. As you mentioned, Wednesday was the deadline for the parties in the case to explain to the judge why a court has jurisdiction over a case where there's no adversity between the parties. And that's because we had the plaintiff, President Trump, suing the IRS and the Treasury Department, which are executive branch agencies that he controls. And so she even invited some legal experts to weigh in as amicus, friends of the court, to help her sort this out because the two parties had this alignment. And the day before that those briefs were due, Donald Trump dismisses the case to take it off her plate. And some of the arguments raised by those amici are present here. There is not the kind of arm's length relationship between the parties to give a court jurisdiction for a real case or controversy. So this case was going to be dismissed. Mm-hmm. And some of the things they pointed out there was that the Justice Department had acted very unusually in this case, failing to invoke the two-year statute of limitations. This lawsuit, these alleged harms occurred in 2019. This should be time-barred. Failing to invoke sovereign immunity. These agencies shouldn't be sued for their discretionary acts. And also requiring a plaintiff to trace the damages of their claim. Donald Trump claimed $10 billion in damages. Certainly there was a leak of tax returns. That was wrong, and maybe they're entitled to some relief. But where does the $10 billion number come from? Mm-hmm. They didn't ask for any of that. So that alone suggests that this lawsuit was a sham to begin with. So then to resolve it and say, we're going to set aside $1.776 billion for some unrelated claims is another reason that this seems to me illegitimate.
The president suggested that some January 6 defendants were imprisoned wrongly. Legally, how significant is it when a sitting president publicly undermines prosecutions carried out by the Justice Department in federal courts?
Yes. You know, if he had evidence of that, if he could point to specific cases and specific facts about that, then perhaps that is a legitimate claim for a president to point out an injustice. I don't mind that so much, I suppose. But what we've had instead is this sort of vague suggestion of, quote, weaponization. And lumping into all that, I know we posted the other night that Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro were part of that group. These two men were prosecuted and convicted for failing to show up in response to a congressional subpoena. That's not something any of us can do. And so I worry that this sort of blanket idea of weaponization is something that some members of the public are willing to believe without requiring evidence of that. Now, if there is somebody who has suffered such malicious prosecution, they already have the ability to file a lawsuit mm-hmm. against the government and have a court adjudicate that claim. What we're going to have instead are a five-member panel handpicked by the attorney general and fireable by the president. So I don't know that we're going to have the kind of independent adjudication that ordinarily accompanies the disbursement of taxpayer funds.
Yeah, and one of those members of that board would be in consultation with Congress. I guess one of my legal questions here is, does the president have the ability or the DOJ have the ability to set a fund this money without congressional approval?
So this is not the kind of a setup that is contemplated by the judgment fund. So Congress sets aside an appropriation every year called the judgment fund. It says, we trust you, Department of Justice, to take care that the laws be faithfully executed, and that when in your legal judgment, there is a lawsuit that should be settled because it's in the best interest of the American people to do so, we trust you to do that. But what it requires is that the case be traced to a claim filed in court or about to be filed in court, a pre-claim adjudication. What we have here instead is a claim filed by President Trump and his sons and his business. And what they're going to do now is adjudicate it to third parties unrelated to that claim. And that's the part that is not consistent with DOJ policy. Now, there is a remedy here. Congress could enact legislation to stop this specific use of its appropriation. I don't know that we'll see that. It would have to be a veto-proof majority because obviously the president wants to see this happen and would veto it unless we could see sufficient votes in Congress to make it veto-proof.
Really interesting stuff. We'll continue to watch it. So will you, Barb McQuaid. Appreciate your time as always. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you got it.
I just don't see how this gets through. Done. I just don't see how this finally gets
through. It's fascinating. I don't understand it. And I would agree, if there were people that felt like they were wronged by the federal government, then they would have the ability to go through those routes.
Absolutely.
And make sure that they could find compensation.
Exactly.
Unless they feel that they won't find the accurate representation or through the legal system.
Yeah.
Right? Which is entirely possible as well. One of the things that Vice President J.D. Vance talked about yesterday in the press room at the White House was that they were going to go on a case-by-case basis. This isn't $1.776 billion for the entire allotment of January 6ers who were pardoned by the president.
Yeah.
That it would be inappropriate to cast a wide net or paint with a broad brush on people who may be compensated.
I mean, he said that Hunter Biden could theoretically apply for the compensation.
Right. So it's a messy situation.
It's really messy.
Very, very messy. Coming up on the other side, get you caught up on the latest headlines. Plus, we hop on the couch with Dr. Steve Craig to talk about it all. It's next on JR Morning.